Hello and welcome to the next episode of the podcast. I'm Kyle Lippincott here with Buckingstock News. I know it's been a while for an episode, but it's just here myself. I got a long list of notes to go through with you guys, kind of in regards to the second half of the 2023 season, the ABBI season. We got some Unleash the Beast, PRCA stuff I want to talk about, as well as moving into the 2023 season, what to expect, kind of make some picks there, leave some conversation on the table for you guys. But first, it wouldn't be possible without our partners, Two Bulls Performance Feeds, the home of Black Label and De-Stress, two products that I do not go without. Bucking Bull Pro, the official dummy of Buckingstock News, as well as the ABBI, Bucking Bull Pro. You guys looking for a dummy? You can visit them online, buckingbullpro.com. Sonic Drive-In and Scott McMillan, Less Than A Cattle Company, we appreciate you. You in a hurry, on the road, or just need something refreshing, check them out, Sonic Drive-In. Rockin' Tea Ranch, BJ and Tara Tolman, been long supporters of Buckingstock News for quite a while. They've got some really cool stuff, coincidentally, in the works with Scott McMillan and Less Than 8 Cattle Company on their herd sire, Brandon 45, the Smooth Move son. Had a great season with his offspring. Less Than 8's acquired that bull. They've put something together for some semen sales and offspring program there. They're going to be releasing those details, as well as the Two Bulls Legacy 2023 competition will be taking place in April in Duncan, Oklahoma, where we will crown, our Two Bulls Legacy champion female and offspring. So first things first, as everybody knows, the ABBI just completed their 2022 regular season and world finals there in Las Vegas. We're fixing to, matter of fact, kick off the regular season for 2023 in Duncan, Oklahoma here this weekend. It's 25,000 out of the event. But anyway, some stats to talk about from last year. You guys at Keep Stats, the ABBI, this was the first year that they added 200,000 to some fraternity money. There was 100,000 added Classic in New Jersey. Some big time money that guys were able to take advantage of. There was more than $7.6 million paid out in prize money to competition-aged animals. There was 8,709 total recorded competition outs. Those are ABBI outs, sanctioned outs. That's not, if it wasn't recorded on ABBI Reg via an ABBI event or a sanctioned event, it's not in these numbers. So you include some of that. The numbers were big this year, as well as 2,600 competing animals to make up those 8,700 and some change outs. That's pretty awesome numbers to know that there's over $7.6 million up for grabs. The ABBI is going to kind of mimic that season that they had in 2022 for 2023. If you guys have some calves standing around, it might be the time to go ahead and crack them out and get started in the competition world. So I want to talk about our world champions, the ABBI world champions, those calves were crowned in Las Vegas, with the exception of the Junior Fraternity World Champion, was crowned in Amarillo, Texas in August. I want to touch on the World Champions here. It was a big year for these bulls. As you can see, there was more money paid out than ever, more animals competing than ever. So there was a lot of really cool stuff shaking out. But as we take a look at our Junior Fraternity World Champion that was crowned in Amarillo, Texas, Wacy Hart, TNT Bucking Bulls with his bull firebranded 008. They call him Rip. Canadian Mist son out of a Magic Maker female. I think that's interesting. The Magic Maker stuff has been lights out, as everybody knows, a past sire of the year, and as well as lots of offspring winning lots of money. But now we're starting to see some of those daughters. This one here, the world champ in the junior division, $8,004 won in money won in the junior division, 90.82 average with six competition outs. One thing that the ABBI did do in 2022 was you didn't have to designate your junior calf, meaning that he was only a junior calf only. If he went to an open or a different division, he was disqualified from entering the junior competition any further. But the first second 50,000 added event that the ABBI produced last year in Oklahoma City, which would have had the preliminary in Guthrie, top five advanced to Oklahoma City UTB. Rip was 91.92. He finished fourth there in Guthrie. I think he fell or something in Oklahoma City. He got a zero to end up in the top five. But you roll on to Waco, Abilene. Like he was so solid all year long. The American Heritage South, he was 92 points to win the junior fraternity there. He had a great year, and also posting a big time score in round one of the Junior Fraternity World Finals, 91.44. So yeah, Rip was rightfully so the Junior Fraternity World champ. It was not really an easy season though. Triple Ought of Addie Drury, Nothing But Tri Ranch, and Diggers come in the second place position in the world standings, 90.15 average with eight outs. That bull kind of made a jump at the World Finals, the Junior World Finals. I think he come in fourth, fifth, sixth, somewhere in there. Had a fantastic finals. Wins the finals, the junior finals. Wins the Noble Left Behind side pot that day and jumps up to the number two spot overall for the junior kids that year. Another bull that was solid all year long. Piff for the Grayson and Weston Lopez. The Lopez boys there, Crown D Cattle, Amarillo, Texas. They hauled that bull to 10 different competitions. Pushing 7,000 in earnings with an 89.96 average. So I think this year that the kids were very competitive. It gets more competitive year after year. And it's going to be good watching as we move on. To touch on the junior deal, the junior finals will be moved to Las Vegas, Nevada for 2023. They're not going to crown a champion earlier in the year like they have done. Matter of fact, the junior kids, they created their own board of directors for the junior division, and that's what they voted on. The kids voted they want to go to Vegas like the grown-ups. They want to have a Fraternity World Champion crown. He'll buck, their calves will buck two times at the finals, just like the Fraternity World Champion and the Cowgirls Fraternity World Champion must do as well. So keep that in mind for your parents that are hauling junior calves and their young ones around, that the finals will be in Las Vegas. So moving on to the Cowgirls Fraternity, this was crowned in Las Vegas. Two outs at the finals is what we saw there. Aggie Pete, Julian Cattle, Stacy Addison. We were just talking about BJ and Scott McMillan and their adventures with 45. This was a 45 son, pushing 24,000 in Cowgirl earnings, 91.32 average, 18 outs. I believe this bull was second at the finals. Picking up a good check there. The finals in the Cowgirl deal was actually probably the one of the more fun classes to watch. Yeah, he was second in the average, second in round one. Had a little bit of a rough go, 87.76 in round two of the Cowgirls finals, but is good enough to secure the world title. Stacy Addison picking up her second gold buckle. In the Cowgirl division, Woody, 0-35, Michelle Flynn, Lyndon Flynn, a stone sober grandson. You talk about clean sweeping him. He was 90.96 in round one to win the round. Wins the second round, 89.76, and wins the average, taking home an average check of $6,896. And we saw this year these two bulls, Aggie Pete and Woody, just back and forth. Aggie Pete had a couple really spectacular outs there midway through the season and kind of went ahead and pushed him up there. Tell you how close it was on average. Aggie Pete, 18 times in competition, 91.32 average. And Woody, 21 times in competition, 91.28 on the average marking. So the Cowgirls class was definitely good watching. And you talk about competitive, 91-plus. The top four bulls were 90 points or better on their average as we closed out that season. So moving to the Fraternity World title, this one was also a little bit of a nail-biter as well. A couple bulls that we saw all year long. We're talking 21, 25, 24, lots and lots of trips throughout the 2022 season. These bulls handled it, and this is a class that we're going to see reflect and be able to take advantage of those $50,000 added, $200,000 in total prize money that was added to the purse. And when we talk about some of these calves as winnings, this is season winnings only. So when you look into their lifetime earnings, if they were hauled as a yearling or competed in the maiden class, we're going to see an increase in lifetime earnings. I just want to touch on that because some of these numbers are rather impressive on their season earnings and where we're going with these fraternity calves in the industry. So your world champ, 2022 Buck and D&H Cattle Company's Mr. Vaquero, he secured their 8th fraternity world title this year in Las Vegas. 25 competition outs, 93.09 average, $186,216 in season earnings. Mr. Vaquero had a great finals and obviously a great year. We saw him successful early on. We saw him at the maiden competition last year. Matter of fact, number one and two in the world standings were calves that we saw in the maiden last year. And I believe all the way down through 6th, 7th, all the way down to 7th place, I believe all those calves were maiden calves. Just looking at them, if my memory serves me correctly. The reserve world champ, he actually did take over the number one position in the world standings just for a slight bit. Mr. Vaquero was able to gain that back after his second trip there in Vegas. 761H fast flow, an own son of the great Airtime out of a smooth move female. Outlaw Livestock, Lone Star, Bucking Bull Genetics, and AFCO. That bull went $104,123.95, 21 trips to town, 92.90 on the average marking. And that was fantastic. That bull is big, gets up off the ground. I think that bull is really, really fun. But honestly, with $104,001 this year, I think that bull is going to be something to look forward to as a Derby and Classic bull as well. He's big, he gets up off the ground, and I think he's a bull we can we'll be anticipating the rider debut. 147H Wingman, Medicine Red, Little Monster are going to round out the top five of the Fraternity World standings. Again, a great, great season to be in the buck and bull business. As we look here, how tough it was, all the way down to 15th place. That was Less Than 8 Cattle Company's California Heartthrob in 15th. All had average markings of 90 points or better on their 2022 season. So we're going to roll into the Derby class. The Derby looked a little different this year as well because we had the Derby World Finals in Fort Worth in October, a few weeks before the World Finals in Las Vegas. Some stuff with the PBR Teams Series Championship. We're limited on rider outs there with the ABBI, and so we had to make do in Fort Worth. We bucked 50 Derby bulls as well. The wild card was in conjunction as well. 53G Hard Candy, he kind of took over the number one spot there late in the season, as well as changing ownership as he's listed under Braun Bucking Bulls and Rising Cattle Company, Larry Rising, Shay O'Neill, the handler there. They got him to that point. Braun Bucking Bulls, they had to have him, and rightfully so, as the Derby World Champ has to be a favorite going into the Classic season. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in bonus money that bull will be available to win. So the World Champ's an own son of Bruiser, following in the footsteps of his old man. $46,040 won through the 2022 season, 91.95 average. This bull is 95 and some change a couple times in the regular season, 11 outs to town. Another bull, I'm going to say it probably was a little unfortunate. Clap Cattle Company from North Carolina's I-17. He led the deal the whole season, right up to the wire. 91.54 average, what he ended with 10 outs. And he didn't really draw very good at the finals when he drew kind of a bigger kid. That bull's not real big, but always bucks and seems to not let his size affect him. But anyway, the guy called for him, held onto the back of the buck and shoots, and basically I-17 left the buck and shoot without a rider. And with that being so, it was kind of unfortunate for Claps, Seth and Eric Clapp. They just didn't get along. They had to mark the bull reflecting that, I guess. As bad as that sucks, it's just luck of the draw of the rider, I guess. He was 86.72 points in Fort Worth. So it's a little tough luck there. Cost them a world title and a gold buckle. But nonetheless, they hauled that bull quite a bit. I know that bull had entered a couple classic events and was able to hold his own there. So going into the classic season, they've got to be excited. 14G Political Cowboy, that's Chad Prather, Boots for Troops, and Clint Gant at number third. Number four, 912 Renegade, IB Rockin' Cattle, Hilton Bull Company, and the Buck and Fun Group and Twisted Horn Ranch, Huckleberry, rounding out the top five in the Derby World standings. Before we get to the classic, I want to talk about the yearlings. This was also an interesting year, back and forth. There was three or four calves that all had a shot to be the world champ. It all came down to Canton, Texas, I believe October 1st, right there at the cutoff date of the regular season. 87J Voodoo Woman, 4K Bulls, BS Cattle Company, 93.12 average marking, 17 outs. This is a heifer, if you didn't catch that by her name. $68,250.44 on season earnings for this yearling heifer. And you talk about some industry-changing stuff there. A female in our business won $68,250.44. If that doesn't make you rethink a little bit, and I'm not trying to stir the pot, but what I'm saying is, people say they don't want to buck their heifers or whatever. $68,250 is what that heifer won in, say, roughly 6-7 months of competition. These yearlings don't start till April or May. So you figure 5 or 6 months in competition, $68,250. I think that is fantastic, and might make a guy start bucking them heifers. Judy, a Billy Frank daughter of Circle S and S4, that's the Colby Simmons. She coming number two, flip flop back and forth. That's also a heifer. The first bull we're going to see in our world standings is going to be Two for the Show, Firebrand at 156, All-Star Ranch and Rockin' T Ranch. This calf was raised by Texas Ted there in East Texas, sired by Fistful of Dollars, going back to the Giedis Backlash. $41,297.50, 9 trips to town, 92.79 average. And actually, that bull left some money on the table. He fell at Canton right there at the season end. I think Voodoo Woman won that event, and she win like $8,400 at that last event. And Two for the Show, Judy and Voodoo Woman right there, kind of the tail end of the season. They were back and forth. Two for the Show, he was an event champion in Texarkana. The series there, he win $13,000 or $14,000. So he's coming fresh off a win, and he falls there. Has a bobble and falls in Vegas as well at the Yearling Finals. So he had a rough go. Judy, she was lights out, $30,261 in earnings there. She was really, really good. They hauled her quite a few times, 18 trips. And, of course, the Voodoo Woman Reserve Not Met, Platinum Bull Company, and Kevin Crawford, 92.01 average marking in the fourth place. And round out the number five, Platinum Bull Company, again in Rockin' H, the Oyster Creek Brawler. That's going to be a 107X son, which is a best shot, and out of a Oyster Creek female. That bull was an event champion, I believe, in Duncan in June, was way good. And then that bull kind of got a little bit of a hair trigger. We saw Chase struggle to get that bull out clean. He put together some more, you know, clean outs, but it seemed like more times than not he's fighting that bull, and the bull was giving him heck, trying to get out clean, throwing a fit in there, and jumping the gate. But anyway, a big stout bull. I'm sure we'll see Two for the Show, Reserve Not Met, Oyster Creek Brawler. A lot of these top bulls in the yearling standings roll on over to the Fraternity World, trying to chase a Fraternity World title in 2023 as our season will begin here this weekend in Duncan, Oklahoma. So we're going to get into the classic. The classic was, I want to say, this hasn't happened a whole lot, but we had the ABBI pays out a $100,000 bonus to the world champion and a $100,000 bonus to the finals champion. Very rarely, it seems like the finals champion and world champion are two different bulls. This year it was, and what makes that really interesting was the finals champion, 5G Flapjack, Parker OK Corrales Gordon, D&H Cattle Company, is a bruiser son, and he's a three-year-old. There are 93.5 points on him in his second out there at the team finals. And he's just a three-year-old. So when you look at that, another Bruiser Son hard candy, the Derby World Champ. There's two Bruiser Sons that are going to be neck and neck as we're going to crack off the classic season at the New Year's Eve event in Fort Worth. Always a great event, one of the biggest classic events of the year. So the three-year-old Flapjack going to secure a $100,000 bonus there, the finals champion, $141,635 in earnings, and's going to finish as your reserve Classic World Champion as well. But your Classic World Champion, none other, fan favorite, 35F Cool Whip, Julian Cattle, Stacy Addison, D&H Cattle Company, Crooked W. Cool Whip already has a gold buckle. I mentioned earlier about Stacy winning her second Cowgirls World title this year. The first gold buckle she won in that division was with Cool Whip. So Cool Whip is a Cowgirls Fraternity World Champ, goes on, becomes a Classic World Champion, $100,000 bonus, $116,245 won this year. That's not including his year-end bonus. That's just what he won throughout the Classic season, which is also phenomenal. The Classic deal has really, really grown, and we've seen some record payouts as well. The top two bulls both have over $100,000 in earnings, and one of them's not counting his $100,000 bonus. So that's pretty phenomenal. Number three, 8194 Blue Duck, Corb McCoy, Grin, Jacobson, and Davis Rodeo Ranch. That's Jerome and Tiffany Davis. They raised that bull and sold him to Cord and his partners and stayed in throughout his Classic season. Bull is phenomenal all year long. I believe had a little bit of a hiccup there in Vegas. F20 Alakazam, number four, and Razzmatazz, Highview Cattle. That's Gary Keel, M. Rafter E., Sam Mitchell, the owners on that one. A little over $26,000 won on the season. It was great. The format was a little different with the team series at the finals in Vegas. So all the Classic bulls plus the wild card bulls, there's 40 total, all bucked in the South Point. The Challenger Series finals, the top 12 bulls, there was actually a tie. So they took 13 to the Classic. That we call it the short round, which was at the team finals. Six bulls buck Friday night in T-Mobile, seven bulls buck, you know, the next night, vice versa, whatever. So the format was a little different. 12 bulls got paid money in the finals payout. So that was really good. Being that there was a tie, they didn't pay an extra hole there. But 12 of the 13 bulls that made it to the short round, the Classic short round, got a check and a good one at that. I think 9,000 was last hole there in the Classic. We're gonna take a look. So before we roll too far here, that's gonna be the World Champions, kind of the season in review, whatever you want to call it. I'm excited. We look at our stats. We look at those numbers. We look at the earnings. We look at all that stuff. I do believe that we're going to see an outstanding year coming up in 2023. There's 157 calves entered in Duncan, $25,000 that is going to pay $37,000 and some change to win the open fraternity. There's also a high roller side pot that's going to pay $34,000-$35,000 to win that as well, paying seven holes deep in the side pot. So we're talking about a bull, if he's double entered, could potentially win $70,000 in 4 seconds this weekend. And it's just going to keep getting better. I'm excited, and I kind of hope you guys are too as well. So that was our review. I want to talk about the highly anticipated maiden fraternity that takes place in Vegas last year. This year was the second year of doing it. You had to buy a maiden spot, 250 calves compete, $2,500 entry fee. There's a kicker, though. Them calves can never have been to town, ever, and competed for money or a score. So you can haul them around or do whatever, I guess, but they can't be entered. And so we get to see these bulls for the very first time in competition. There were some bulls and some owners, breeders kind of come out of the woodwork that we saw placed really deep there in the maiden. It's kind of crazy. We go to tenths and try to eliminate tenth points, try to eliminate some ties and some splits. And heck, in the maiden, 250 bulls, we got a tie at the top spot, 136 Amos, $92,500. Bloyd Land and Cattle Company in the Wilo Ranch. This bull bucked the first day. And if I remember right, this bull was in the care of Gene Baker at the time. And I think he was the high selling bull in Gene's sale earlier this year, $48,000. And so that was a good investment. But I want to say they had that bull in the back chute. The two bulls shoot works wedge was up in the middle chute, and Gene wanted that insert. So they made that bull stood in the back chute there for a while, and they were getting the insert. They took the insert out, put it in the back chute, and I might be exaggerating, but it felt like that bull stood in the bucking chute for 5 minutes. And we're talking about calves that had never been to town, and make a little poke at Gene here. His stuff's usually pretty wild. And so anyway, Amos, he took it really well. He's a Bruiser grandson sired by a bull, Baker 707, out of a Houdini female. Anyway, so he bucks the first day. He's 92 and some change, 93.52 the first day. So Lance and his partners and Gene, they're all excited, but they had to wait for 126 more calves to buck the next day. We also saw some other great markings the first day. Harrison's bull, Firebrand, is 16, of Bobby Harrison, 91.68. Platinum Bull Company had one be 90. D&H Cattle Buck Partners had a few in there. BS Cattle Company had some calves in there placed after, you know, and bucked on the first day. But as we went to the second day, I know them guys were cringing that were in the top spot, or that were even placing. And we saw the bull that split the maiden win the second day. We saw the third place, fifth place, and sixth place bulls all buck the second day. 93.52, 11J bar high call, $92,500 in split the win with 136 Amos. D&H Cattle and Flynn, the owners on High Call, and Eli Flynn, the handler there. This one's sired by High Country, which was a Brutus son. High Country was a bull that was phenomenal. You talk about athletic and do the deal. The Flynns, they lost that bull due to an injury, but they got some calves on the ground, and I believe, don't quote me, believe got some semen before that injury took place. But I think what's interesting here is I was talking to Eli, after the maiden, Eli and Lance, and they have two totally different viewpoints on how this went. So talking to Eli, this bull, obviously 93.52, he did everything you wanted one to do and to be the co-champion of the maiden. And I asked him, I said, well, what were you thinking, you know, coming into it? Were you pretty confident? Had your calves dialed in, you know, or you know, how'd they handle it? And he said, man, he said, that bull had some ability and some tools. He said, but I wasn't counting on him at all. He said, I knew that if he put it together, he could be where we're at. He said, but the problem is the last couple times at home I'd bucked him. He said, I didn't trust him. He said, I didn't know what to expect when the gate opens. He said, but I'll take it. $92,500 later. Now, Lance and Gene, on the other hand, and Wylo Ranch, Lance had sent that bull back to Gene, kind of get ready for the maiden and what have you. And anywho, Lance had seen some videos, and when I was talking to Lance, he had said, you know, I didn't want to count my chickens. I didn't want to get my hopes up. But I knew if he did what he did in them videos at Gene's house, the videos when they bought him in Gene's sale, that he felt like he had a pretty good opportunity to be in the position that he was in as the co-champion of the maiden. Now, the realities of that kind of stuff happening, 250 bulls, one bull like that. So it's pretty cool. You know, Eli, not confident at all. Lance, pretty confident. That's pretty neat. Another cool thing we're talking about, Gene Baker and the Homestead Genetics Breeding Program. The bull that came from Gene Baker, owned by Bloyd Land and Cattle and Wylo Ranch, splits the win. 146 Chopacabra wins third. Homestead Genetics TBR Bucking Bulls, that's a Chop Chop son going back to Showtime, wins third in a $50,000 check. 138 Look Alive, another Chop Chop son owned by Gridiron Bulls and Gene Baker, 91.60 to finish fifth place and take home a check for $30,000. So two of the three bulls in the top five are sired by the same bull, Chop Chop, a Showtime son, and one of them by a Bruiser son, but all three of them by the same breeder. And I think it's no secret how well Gene has his breeding program firing on all cylinders. You look down past that, like I said, Bobby Harrison, Brandon Stewart, and D&H Cattle Company, they had a bunch in there, Hilton Bull Company, McCoy Rodeo, BS Cattle, the list goes on. The results are on the ABBI Reg account as well. So you guys can check that out. That was $100,000 added, $600,000 purse, and it was phenomenal watching. And there will be an airing of the maiden on the Cowboy Channel, the 25th of November, with re-airing at later dates. So, you guys make sure you set your DVR, go look, make sure to watch that airing on the Cowboy Channel. Support the ABBI on national television. Okay, so in Vegas, we did crown Buckingstock News ABBI Sire and Dam of the Year. That was really. It's hard every year. I think it gets difficult, but you kind of got to go through your process of elimination, and the way we do it is it's not on grandcalves, grandsons, granddaughters, what they've produced, even though the sire and dam could possibly or obviously would still be in the genetics and the lineage, and you could attest to this daughter of said cow is really good because that cow was really good or however it might be. And we understand that. But the way we try to do it, Buckingstock News, is we're looking at that stats, data, statistics, day in and day out of these competitions, as well as rodeos, high mark bulls, where these events are at, et cetera. So what I'm getting at there is it's by direct offspring. Is how we go ahead and do that. So your 2022 Sire of the Year was Bruiser Buck and D&H Cattle Company. He had multiple sons win money throughout the year with the Dummy, as well as the Derby World Champion, the Classic World Finals Event Champion. I think his calves win a little over $300,000 this year. It was impressive season. Bruiser's writing his own pages in history now and in the book. He goes down as one of the greatest bucking bulls ever, and now his calves are leading on to following his footsteps as far as inside the arena and performance. We've seen some phenomenal Bruiser grandsons on the female side, you know, so there's been some great things coming of that. Bruiser, the Sire of the Year. On the Dam of the Year, Box Case Cow Firebrand at 67. She's actually owned by Less Than 8 Cattle Company and Scott McMillan there, and Scott and Tanny McMillan there in California. 67. She was the mom to King Tut. She's the mom to the Right Stuff PBR Finals. She's the mom to High Rise. That's also that's going to the NFR again this year. And I believe there's King Tut. And King of Spades, I believe, was another bull that was out there that Scott had that both won money. Both of those bulls had placed at a couple of our 50,000 added events. Even though being in California and some of those calves out of her, they were brought here. They were able to compete. They were able to hang. Plus, you look at her older brother, his older brothers that were still going all this year, the Right Stuff. And High Rise, Trevor Kastner, I believe, was 93.5 points on him at San Juan Capistrano. That cow's been super phenomenal, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing what Scott can do with that cow, flush into some big time sires as time goes on, as he's implementing her in their flush operation. Excuse me. Had to get a drink. So, rolling along here, I've touched a little bit on the ABBI's changes for the 2023 season, with the junior finals being in Vegas. So, the yearling world champion will have to go to the yearling world finals in Las Vegas. Years past, it's been a season champion, but we are going to crown an official, I guess you'd call it official, yearling world champion that will have to compete at the world finals. As we reference, if you guys are looking, you guys can go on ABBI's Facebook page and reference this graphic that I'm looking at. But Jay and the ABBI, they've kind of tweaked some things as far as the outs and eligibility to be a world champ. The Classic is 6 outs plus 2 outs at the finals. The Derby is up to 6 outs plus 1 out at the finals. The Fraternity, 10 outs plus 2 outs at the finals. Cowgirls, 6 and 2. Youth is 6-2. Again, that finals will be in Las Vegas. The yearling will be 6 outs instead of 4 plus their one out at the finals. So these outs and stuff are to determine a world champion. You'll still qualify to the world finals by money. The ABBI is going to implement the limited non-winner fraternity format, kind of how they did earlier this year. Everybody enters into one pot, And then there's a percentage held out for the limited non-winner. Depending on how your bull falls in his eligibility at the conclusion of that event is how that will be paid out. And they're going to also add a $4,000 claimer at all their fraternity events as well. So there's a few changes taking place as far as the competition season. There's also going to be some sanctioning guidelines. You guys that produce sanctioning events through the ABBI, there's going to be some changes there as well. So you guys can reach out to the business coordinator, Dawn Forsyth. She can get you those documents if you're interested in producing an event. Turn the page here in my notes. All right, so kind of get to go ahead and talk about some bucking bulls and some fun stuff, all of our stats and all of our recap out of the way. The UTB, the PBR's Unleash the Beast series, is going to return to regular season in individual riders. We're going to see an actual Bull of the Year crowned again, the 2023 Bull of the Year. And actually, they're starting Thanksgiving weekend in Tucson, Arizona. And so some bulls that maybe kind of didn't go quite as much. We're talking like Riding Solo, Whoopaw, some obviously the bulls from D&H Cattle Company, Gene Owen, Chad Berger, Blake Sharp has put together an outstanding set of bulls. I know he purchased one from Canada, a big black. I think he's placed in a couple classics he got him down here for. I know he's purchased some other bulls from up north as well as a bull called the Legend. You guys have probably seen some videos there of the Legend. It's gonna be a great season. The rider format, I looked at that a little bit and I thought it was a little different. I thought it was a little different on how they were able to, how they got the guys to come to the deal or to the UTB season. It was a little different than normal is what I'm saying, kind of based on some team results, what have you. But I think we're going to see some really, really nice bulls, and I'm excited to get back to, you know, having some short rounds. And I'm a team fan. I like the team format. I'm a big-time fan of it. I'm a big-time fan of sports. But I think some of those guys held back some of those ranked bulls because it was hard to get them to fit into the those rounds and those games and being able to compare bulls and have it even, you know, 10 even bulls, and then you throw in Whoopaw or Riding Solo or one, you know, something like that. So anyway, I'm excited to watch some of those bulls. I'll be curious to know what some of your guys' bull predictions are for the UTB regular season kicking off here momentarily in Tucson. Anyway, you guys got some predictions, some bulls you like, what your favorites are, post in the comments and let's talk about them. PRCA, the NFR, Smokestack, Bucking Bull of the Year, Butler and Sons. That bull was lights out, is unridden in 2022 season. We're talking markings as high as 48 points. The bull's been in the NFR before. He's been there. He's done that. Finally got the Bucking Bull of the Year in the PRCA. I know the Butler's, Rhett Butler, is really excited about that. He is a flush calf sired by Flying Train out of a Cowtown daughter of the Butler's. One thing I thought was interesting, looking at some stats, 14 bulls on the NFR list to go this year were also selected to the 22 PBR World Finals. So that's pretty interesting. They're bulls making both finals in the same year, which is pretty impressive because they've got to have so many outs, you know, to be selected to the PBR Finals, plus so many outs rodeoing to be eligible for nomination for the NFR. So to have 14 bulls, you know, selected the PBR World Finals as well as the NFR, I thought was interesting. 55% of the NFR bulls are ABBI registered, and 49% of those 55% came through the competition system, which I think is really neat statistic to look at with the registry and how these bulls and what the competition system's doing for these bulls and they're going on making bulls, and it's a testament to the registry, to the breeding programs, as well as what everybody's doing in their programs to raise bulls that can take the longevity. The NFR starts, I believe, the first week of December. It's going to be great watching. There's actually 16 guys now. So they're going to buck 16 bulls a night for 10 nights in a row, 160 outs there, unless someone gets hurt or whatever. I think we're going to see some really good rides at the NFR. There's a couple young guys that are going to be new qualifiers, first-time qualifiers the NFR with, the Jeff Askeys, the Josh Frost, Stetson Wright, them guys that have been there a few times. The bull list looks pretty dang solid. I've looked it up and down quite a few times. I think it's going to be great watching, depending on kind of how they pair them bulls up in those rounds. They have to have a different rounds. They have to kind of like the team series deal we were talking about, kind of match them bulls in each of those rounds. So I think the bull list is solid. I think Rostocki, which is the bull riding director, did a great job. So it's going to be fun watching. A lot of young guns coming in to their first-time qualifications to the finals, and they're going to be hungry. Looking into the 2023 season, the World Finals will be in Las Vegas again. That is the ABBI's World Finals, along with the Classic Finals, will be in Las Vegas. The overview of the schedule, they've released the schedule on ABBI Reg as well as their Facebook page. They've kind of broken down some of the added money events throughout the season. They're not going to make them all 50,000 added. Like, for example, Duncan's 25,000 added. The Spring Fling's 10,000. These are in the fraternity classes. So they're kind of spreading that money out a little bit further throughout the year. They're trying to implement some new things back to the limited non-winner payout, the claimer events, and that kind of deal. So I think the 2023 season is going to be exciting. When you look at the numbers from 2021 – then to 2022, it kind of gets anybody that's involved in the bull deal excited about what's 2023 numbers going to look like. So you guys make sure to follow us everywhere you can. Bucking Stock News on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We put out lots of videos on YouTube, lots of random content. They might not be the event winner. It might be a video from somebody's bull that had a really good day at home or maybe a really bad day. But we do put a lot of content on our YouTube channel, so you guys make sure to subscribe there as well. Lots of buck and bull videos. I think we've got 300 or 400 videos right now on YouTube. And like I said, on Facebook and Instagram, all the content, all the news from around the buck and bull world, rodeo, PBR, and, of course, the competition world. I think we covered about everything from the finals or world champs and on. So definitely appreciate you guys listening, and make sure to tune in for the next episode.